Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, I hope that you are starting your day in a positive way. I'm so grateful that all of my listeners have been tuning in for several years here. And if you have a story that you want to hear about or something that you want to share on my show, please reach out to me. And that number is 805-419-0008. Also, I do want to remind you that you can stream us right here on KVTA.com, which makes us nationwide, and we have a lot of people that stream from all over the world, so thank you for doing that. And also download my podcast, and that is Kim Pagano Show, and of course, it's on Stitcher, on Apple, on iHeart, you name it, we are there, and take us with you every day. I love to start my show with something uplifting. And of course, I'm in the process of doing a 3-day reboot. And so food can be your medicine or it can be your poison. And so we have to really choose what we're eating, what we're feeding our souls and our body and all that. So I just really want to share that with you. Take a moment to look at those first couple ingredients that you're choosing to eat. And again, make it all about you so that you feel your best and that you're living your best life. With that, we've got a great show for you today, and I am super excited to talk with my guest. And of course, just to start off, if anyone that's listening right now or you know of anyone that's going through a hard time in their life, in their relationship, in their heartache, or a heartbreak, you want to stay tuned to this. Because my next guest and my first guest is Adriana Sorgi. She will be joining me. She holds a master's degree in spiritual psychology. She's a relationship coach and the author of Your Breakdown is Your Breakthrough. Let's welcome Adriana. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. Super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And so tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, where's your beautiful accent from and where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Colombia. I'm originally from Colombia. I've lived in Los Angeles for about 25 years. And I moved here when I was actually 19 years old as an exchange student. And then I went back to Colombia. Yeah, then I went back to Colombia for a couple of years and I came back and to live in Los Angeles. I got married and I've been here since then.
Wow, I love it. And so what made you, first of all, go to spiritual, to become a master in spiritual psychology?
Yeah, interestingly enough, what led me to the school, the University of Santa Monica, where I got my degree in spiritual psychology was my super painful divorce, which was my biggest breakdown when I was in my early 30s. I went through a very awful divorce for 3 years. And we were in and out of court for 3 years. And that was really when I was pretty much at my lowest point that I decided to get on a healing path. And somebody told me about the school. And so I checked it out, and the minute that I walked into the classroom for the info evening, I felt called to be there, and I just knew that I was going.
You just gave me chills. It's like you felt at home, right? Isn't that, I love spirituality, first of all. I just think that you have a sense, and if you don't, for our listeners out there, if you have like that feeling like somebody standing behind you, or you know how you like you think of somebody and all of a sudden they call, that's your intuition, your gut, your spirituality talking to you. And so many of us ignore that, and they just go, yeah. Oh, I don't, you know, I don't want to do that. But look at how important it's changed your life. And now you're changing so many other people's lives.
Yes. Yes. Well, I knew that something needed to change. I was really struggling. I really wanted to get to the bottom of it. I wanted to know where all of that suffering was coming from and turn it around, because I wasn't happy. I wasn't really enjoying my life.
I love it. And then you became a coach, right?
I became a coach, but I when I went to that school, I had no intention to become a coach. I didn't even have any idea what a coach was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went through the journey for 2 years. And when I graduated from the school, I realized that I have this calling. I felt that inside of me, I had transformed my life during those 2 years. And I felt called to help other women do the same. And
wow.
That's when I decided to begin to start my coaching practice.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And so, first of all, I want to go back to something. What mm-hmm. when you walked into that school, what was like the biggest lesson that you learned about yourself?
I think the biggest lesson that I learned, which was very foreign to me, was to take responsibility for my own stuff.
Whoa.
to really look inside and see that everything that I had been living and all the relationships that I have been stuck in, feeling pain, feeling suffering, were really a reflection of myself. That
wow.
those relationships were really a mirror, that they were showing me all the ways in which I needed to heal.
Wow.
And therefore, I kept attracting people that were bringing into my life the unhealed aspects of myself so that I can finally heal them. But I didn't know that. So what I kept doing was blaming everyone for doing this and that to me. But when I realized that there was a common denominator, that I was the one in those relationships, that I was the one bringing my own patterns and repeating my own patterns with a different person, I realized that, wow, this is powerful. So that means that there's something inside of me that I need to heal. And that when I do that, then I'm going to attract a different situation, a different person in my life. That was
right.
huge
and,
for me.
And that's, Adriana, that is huge, because really it just makes sense. Of what they say is, if you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to have anything different. If you change the situation, you'll have a different situation, right?
Right.
Yeah. So your book, your breakdown is your breakthrough. Love the name, first of all. It just says it all right there. That's really how you came to your book, too, through your situation again, correct?
Yes. Well, you know, and sometimes I think that when we are at our lowest point, that's when we get like slapped in the face. That's when we can really awaken. That's when we begin to see things differently. And I think my lowest point was my divorce. And that's why I called it my breakdown. That was my biggest breakdown, because it was really the catalyst for me to find my voice, my strength, my courage, my power, to really find who I was.
Right,
and so
right.
I wrote this book, but it's interestingly enough, Kim, I don't really talk about my divorce in that book. I don't talk much about my divorce. That's going to be another book. My divorce would require one book just for the divorce. This book speaks of my childhood and all the hardships and challenges that I went through growing up in Colombia.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
And for anybody that is just waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way, listening here to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, we're talking with Adriana Sorgi. She is a relationship coach. She's got a manifesting your true love workshop that we are going to give out a link to, that all of my listeners are welcome to join it. And again, we're talking about relationship or your heartbreak or your heartache. These are all experiences that you work with your clients, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so
let me ask.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. How can we navigate through this time of our lives if we're going through some of those things? Like when somebody's working with you, what would be like the first thing?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you.
So what I do is that I help people really, first of all, identify what are the subconscious blocks that are preventing them from having the relationship that their heart desires. Because there is a programming, right? What is my relationship with love? What did I learn about love growing up? And if we continue to be in that programming, then all of our relations are going to reflect back to us the subconscious blocks that we have from the past, what we learned from our parents, what we learned from previous relationships. I mean, those relationships were toxic. If we grew up in a toxic environment, then we're going to repeat. Because what happens is that we attract the people that most match our painful past.
Wow.
You hear that?
That's a statement right there. Yeah.
Right. Because everything that we went through becomes sort of like the familiar patterns, right? So when we meet somebody that carries some of those patterns, it's familiar. And what is familiar feels safe, even if it isn't, right? Even mm-hmm. if I attract someone that is really toxic, controlling, jealous, but I grew up with a toxic, jealous, and controlling father, then that person is going to feel like I'm at home. It's
right.
going to be so familiar to me that I'm going to gravitate towards that person because I feel like I'm home. But
right.
when we begin to heal those patterns, that's when we become aware. When that person shows up into our lives, then we can see it. We can
and
be
that
aware
is
of
so
the pattern.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true. Even when you meet somebody and they're so nice to you, you're like, ah, they're trying to be nice to me. They don't really need it, you know, right? I mean, we don't trust a different feeling if we don't know the how we've ever felt that feeling before, correct?
Correct. But see, the thing is that is the energy, right? Like sometimes they might be so nice to us, but if we have the awareness and we have done the healing, and then we can tap into it. We can feel their patterns through their energy.
And that's when
we know, oh, okay, no, I'm going the other way. This is not
I
it.
Love that.
This,
I love
this
that.
This is
and
not the right man.
So once you get through some of that, your own health, I guess, healthy, working on yourself, right? I mean, at the end of the tunnel, do you ever get over the hurt?
I think that I don't think you ever get over the hurt. I think
okay.
you learn to relate to the hurt in a different way.
Okay.
You see, because the hurt is like the grief, right? Like the aspects of ourselves that need healing. So
right.
what you do is that you befriend all of those aspects. You bring them up to the surface and you make them your friend. And you give them what they need. And when you befriend each one of them, that's when you can become whole, right? You can become whole again, love every part of you.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't push away the hurt. You embrace it. You bring it into your heart and you give it the love that it needs. And when you give it the love that it needs, then it dissolves. And you don't have to feel it again because you accepted it. It's a part of you.
Right. Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, that just makes so much sense. It's even like when you're afraid of something and you walk through it, guess what? You get to the other side and you no longer feel that pain or that grief or that hurt or that scaredness, correct?
Correct.
I love that.
Because everything that we are afraid of and we push away, like we're putting resistance into it. But if we actually, ironically, What we need to do is to bring it into our heart, to embrace it so that we don't have to feel it anymore. Instead of resisting it and pushing it away, we bring it into our heart. And then that's when we don't have to project it onto anyone else or to keep activating it within ourselves.
How long did it take you to really heal?
Well, I think, you know, it was a journey. It really was a journey because there was a lot. And I realized that that divorce was really pushing me farther into healing some of my childhood wounds. Mm-hmm. It was not all about him. It was really about what I went through in the past with my own parents.
So it just really, activated it.
It activated all the wounds from the past. And that's really the work that I do with women. Because if we carry the fear of getting hurt, what we do is that we're going to push away love because we don't want to get hurt. If we carry the fear of being rejected, we're going to have a hard time asking to get our needs met, asking to get our desires met in our intimacy because we don't want to be rejected. If we carry the fear of being invalidated, then we're going to have a hard time sharing our feelings because we don't want to be invalidated, right? So if you experience that in your childhood, if you experience a parent that was very invalidating, then you're going to carry that fear. And then when you meet, you're most likely going to meet people that are going to invalidate you, right?
Wow.
So what I do is that I take them through a process in which they can bring peace into these fears. And how do we bring peace into them? By healing them, by identifying where they come from. What is the source of them? And when those fears begin to dissolve, Kim, that's when we can begin to open up, to receive love, to feel worthy of love, and therefore to attract a partner that is available for that kind of love.
Right. Makes so much sense. So let me ask you, okay, because we're almost out of time, and I want to talk to you. We have so much more to talk about. But so are you in a relationship now, and is that a healthy one?
Oh, yes. I'm in a really good relationship. It really warms my heart when I talk about it because it's the relationship that I so much desired for years. Yeah.
I love
with
that.
A very beautiful partner, conscious man, a king, a total king.
There you go. Yeah. I love that. And so you can actually show your clients and my listeners how to manifest the relationship they truly deserve, correct?
Yes. Yes. That's what I do. That's what I love to do.
Well, so can you give us some steps, three steps maybe that that they can manifest? And actually, we could give out your link too. It will be in our newsletter, which I want to remind all of our listeners to definitely get our newsletter if you're not already getting that. And all you have to do is call in right now and leave us your name, your number, and your email at 805-419-0008. I want to make sure everybody gets this. It will also be on my social, too, so anywhere that you can get it. But what are the three steps?
Yeah. So very, very quickly. So the three steps are, number one, you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision that the decision that you're worthy of love, period, even if you don't believe it, right? But the minute that you decide that you're never going to settle again for a bad, a toxic relationship, that is the moment that the universe conspires in your favor. You're putting a message out there that immediately is going to raise your value. The minute you decide, you're raising your value. And when you raise your value, you raise your vibration. And when you raise your vibration, you attract differently. So just making a decision is going to put you on a healing path. And then in that path, you're going to do everything that is required for you to have that relationship that you desire. Like releasing any patterns that are no longer serving, any beliefs, any fears, right? Like that's the process. That's the work that I do. Then the second tool would be knowing your value. What do you truly value? When you become clear what you truly value in relationships, then you know what your non-negotiables are, right? Immediately, the minute you know what you value, then you know what you're never going to negotiate.
Wow.
And that's super important. And then the third tip will be creating an ideal scene. So an ideal scene is really, what do I want that relationship to look like? What does my ideal relationship look like? And who do I need to be to attract that perfect partner? So you write this ideal scene as if it's already happening. So you imagine yourself being in this relationship, it's happening right in this moment. how does he talk to me? How does he treat me? Who am I to him in this relationship? How do I show up to this relationship? And you write it as if it's already happening in the present moment. See, because that already puts you in that energy. And when you put yourself in that energy, then, like I said again, you raise your vibration. And then you become a magnet to that type of relationship.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing this here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. It truly is. You can have the brighter side of your relationships, your life. This is our one life that we know of so far. And Adriana, I know you have a gift for my listeners, correct?
I do. And I am actually, if this resonated to some of you and you want to go deeper, I am giving for free at my event that is tomorrow to the listeners at 10 a.m. It's called Manifesting True Love. And I think you have the link, or they can find it on my Instagram, which is Adriana Sorgi Coaching. So this is only a 1-hour workshop. I'm going to give some tools. I'm going to show them some steps that they can apply into their life right away. And it's tomorrow at 10 a.m. virtual.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Excuse me for sharing all of this beautiful work that you've actually done, and now you're giving back to the world. So again, how can my listeners find you?
Adriana Sorgi Coaching is my Instagram account, and my website is adrianasorgi.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you again for joining us. I hope that we can get you back again, and I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Kim. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, thank you. Are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these 3 tips to help you regain order and focus. Number 1, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number 2, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number 3, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to tntams.com.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature 3-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177. 1-800-327-7777.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue.
The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime membership fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at
eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. And we'd love to hear from our listeners. So if you have a question or you want to know about one of our amazing guests, please reach out to us. My next guest is Anthony Mondiola. Did I get that right?
It's Mondiola.
Okay, Mondiola. There you go. And we're going to talk about something that he was actually the real creator of Stuffed Crust Pizza. And we're going to talk about his journey. And really, he lost over $1 billion from this invention, correct? And so let's talk about it. And welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Kim. I appreciate it.
Talk a little bit about who you are and first of all, how you came up with that incredible invention.
Well, the truth is, as they say, all good inventions, they happen by accident. And I actually did
that
this in Brooklyn, and I was dating a girl, and her mom asked me, she says, "Can you make pizza tonight for dinner? We want to have pizza." And you know, Kim, I'm a cheese guy. I'm not a pizza guy. So I said yes, of course. And I went to a bakery and I bought some dough balls. And the dough balls, I realized looking at them, they were a little bit too small, smaller than what I see in a pizzeria, you know, the gentleman behind the counter, let's say, making a pie. So I put two of them together. That's my mistake, but that's what happened, and it's a great mistake to make.
Right.
So as I did this, I realized how the bottom had to be, how thin the bottom crust should be, and I pushed all the excess dough to the crust on the outside. And let's say if you looked at a cooked pie today, I had a raw pie with a crust as thick as a cooked pie. So I put sauce, I put cheese, I put it in the oven, Kim. And then lo and behold, as it started to cook, it started to grow. And the crust started to grow and grow. It looked like the size of a baseball, like a Zeppeli or a calzone on the end of this pizza. There was nothing wrong with it. It looked funny. So we took it out and we cut it and we started to eat it. As I bit into the side of this crust, I realized, I said, you know, if there was something inside here, this would be great. And that's how Stuffed Crust Pizza was truly born.
Wow, that's incredible. So what happened next? I got so many questions for you, but what happened next?
Well, what I did was I went to my dad and I told him about it and thought it was a good idea. And he said, you have to protect yourself. Try and get a patent. So I did. I went to Manhattan. I sought out some incredible attorneys, patent attorneys, and I proceeded to apply for a patent. And it took me about 3 years, but I finally achieved a patent for a method of making a pizza. And I also have a trademark that's called Stuff in the Crust. I started out with Stuffed Crust Pizza, and they said it was too descriptive. So I had to change it to Stuff in the Crust. Well, I did it, and I achieved it. And I have a trademark for Stuffed in the Crust Pizza. I had a patent issued in April of 1987. The dates are important. Because it was 1994 when Pizza Hut decided to launch a $45 million advertising campaign for what they called Stuffed Crust Pizza. And what happened was when I finally achieved my patent, I went ahead, Kim, and I started to go to the big chains like Pizza Hut and Domino's and Little Caesars.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually – nobody really paid me much attention except Pizza Hut. They said, look, send it into our R&D department, and, you know, we'll get back in touch with you. And that's what I did. I sent them my patent, and I sent them the process for making the pizza. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think everything went awry.
Oh. So how could you have protected yourself? I mean, what happens when you, you know, I mean, you have a good idea. You did all the right steps, right? And then where do you think you went wrong? Because you shared it before.
I thought I did everything right. And what happens is, as I look back and realize what transpired with Pizza Hut, I was under the impression, like a lot of people probably are, that you, once you achieve a patent, it's going to protect you. The truth is, I should have gone to market when I first achieved what's called a patent pending status. Once I applied for the patent, I should have gone to market, and here's the key why. When you apply for a patent, that folder, that file stays closed. No one can read it. No one can see it. Once you've achieved a United States patent, it becomes what's called public domain. And anybody can look and see exactly what's in your patent. And that, in my summation, is what Pizza Hut did. And they went to their attorneys, their own patent attorneys, and said, look, we want this idea. How do we knock it off? How do I not have to make a deal? How do I not have to make a deal with this man? And why?
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a nice person, right? Don't I sound like one?
They didn't want to pay you $1 billion, right?
So. Yeah, no joke. But that's where I went wrong. So I want to encourage everybody, if they have an idea and they do apply for a patent, once they've achieved what's called patent pending status, that's when they should go into market and try and market their idea and try to sell it and try and make a deal. And that's all I wanted to do, was make a deal with one of the biggest chains I could, being Pizza Hut, to see if I could give them a license to use my invention.
Right,
but they decided no, and then they decided to just try and rob it from me.
Right. And now, did you ever work there, or you just went there to present it?
No, I never worked for Pizza Hut. I just, you know, did what they asked me, and I sent my patent and my process over to their R&D department. And now, unfortunately, people in that company try and take the recognition for being the creator of stuffed crust pizza, and that really sort of drives me a little crazy.
Yeah. So, okay, you know, you have like a, I've always had ideas for like games or different things, but it was, what about the poor man's, you know, the one that you send yourself? What's your thought on that?
When you send yourself like something in the mail to protect your idea?
Correct. Mean anything?
Well, actually, I did that. I took anything and everything that I could figure for my product. And I put it on paper, and I put it in an envelope with a stamp, and I mailed it to myself just to try and get a timeline. And people often do that because the post office will put, you know, a timeline stamp on it. And that postmark is something that you can prove if someone later on tries to say they created it first. Well, that stamp would prove that maybe, you know, that date is prior to what someone else is claiming. But there's really not much more that we can do with this whole situation. But I did – I sued Pizza Hut for $1 billion in 1995-96.
And did you get anything?
I got nothing. I went through 3 days of video deposition where their lawyers tried to tear me apart and squish me like I was a grape. And I gave up nothing that they could have used. So they used the judicial system against me. And I think that Pizza Hut lawyers, they really realized that if I ever got on a stand in front of my peers, that they would have a problem. And what they did was, in 98, they went ahead and they moved for what's called summary judgment. And what summary judgment is when they approach the judge and ask the judge to decide the case himself. And this allowed me from getting in front of a jury of my peers. And they took whatever evidence that they had that supported their position, and they presented it to the judge. And unfortunately, over a year or so, he ruled in their favor that their product was different than mine. And here's the key. The key, Kim, is this. My product has this filling in the crust, and when you cut it, they say that they cut their pockets open and that my pockets are supposed to be closed on the crust. Now, the truth is, if you read my patent and understand it, it ends at baking the unbaked pie to create a pizza. It's a step-by-step process. So So you cannot undo patent infringement by adding a step, meaning the cutting means nothing. So to say that you cut the pockets open after you've already infringed by making it the way I claim to make it in my patent, well, you really can't undo that.
Right.
Unfortunately, Judge Nickerson ruled in their favor.
And yeah, and Anthony, let me ask you a question. When you came up with this brilliant idea, you know, it's like something like, did you go around? Did you do your homework? Did you figure out that no one else had ever served anything like this before?
I did. The patent attorneys would first have to do research themselves. They would have to go through whatever data there is in the Patent and Trademark Office and make sure no one else has ever come up with a concept like this. And sure enough, there was nothing. Now, I'm 58 now. Back then, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I've never seen anything like it. No one has ever stuffed the crust of a pizza before me or had the idea to do so that I would ever know of. And
right.
The truth is, if that had happened, I wouldn't have been able to get a patent and secure a patent.
Right. And so, Anthony, what are you doing now?
I am the president and CEO of a company that's called Formaggio Cheese. And
ooh,
I've been doing this for 32
Formaggio
years
cheese.
Of my life.
Okay. That's my favorite cheese. I love that. So kudos to you. Okay.
Thank you. And as far as stuffed crust pizza is concerned, if anybody wants to go on some social media platforms, you can look up stuffed crust pizza facts. Because the truth is, Kim, I don't want any money from anybody. I don't want to take or even to hurt Pizza Hut. All I would like to have happen is to get the recognition for my billion-dollar concept. And that's all I'm looking for at this stage of my life.
There you go. I love it. Well, again, you know, so I love that you came on to just share some tips for other people because, you know, I can imagine back then the excitement that you thought, oh, my gosh, I just came up with this incredible invention. It's going to make me millions. It's delicious. Nobody's ever done it before. And, you know, and then you get this disappointment.
It's a tremendous disappointment.
I guess my question.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I love to try and help people. I really do. And I would like to try and help anyone that would, take this trip on this journey and create a product and then try and patent it and give them as much advice as I can based on what I've been through, you know?
Right. And let me ask you, okay, if you go to a patent attorney or do you think there just wasn't enough knowledge then? Or, you know, like, because people always do like a little knockoff of something, you know?
Yes, but in this case, this has never been done before. No one has ever stuffed the crust of a pizza that I know of. No one has ever tried to get a patent for a stuffed crust pizza. I mean, it's funny. Sometimes people, when they come up with ideas, they'll share it with somebody, right? A friend of theirs, maybe a family member. And a lot of people told me, and that's probably what happens to a lot of other people, yeah, it's so simple. Somebody probably thought of this already. And the biggest thing I could tell people is never, ever be swayed. Follow your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you've got a good idea, explore it 100%. And never take that simplistic answer. Oh, it's such a simple idea. Maybe somebody's probably done this already. No, believe in yourself. Believe in your dreams. And follow them as far as you can.
I love it. You should be a motivational speaker for this, you know?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, so, okay, again, let's just lastly go back over this. If you have a really great idea, our listeners out there that are listening, and what are the steps that they should take? Definitely do the poor man's one where you take a picture of it, you date it, you send it to yourself and somebody else, correct?
Yes, absolutely do that. And that's for the date, so you can protect yourself.
Correct. Get an attorney, correct?
Yes. If you want to patent a product or you think it's patentable, you need to get an attorney and do a search. Now, look, with the internet today, it's unlike when I was doing this myself in the 80s. But you can do searches yourself. But I do recommend going to a professional and trying to find out if a patent exists already.
Right, exactly. And lastly, don't, as soon as you put that out there, start promoting it, right?
Yes. If you are able to achieve what's called a patent pending status, that file will be closed. No one can read it. So when you go to try and bring it to market, people will have to work with you because they won't be able to get any of the literature that could explain your idea to them other than what you're doing, and it will protect you.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please download our podcast and share us everywhere, and I look forward to your success in your future.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for having
me. Thank you. All right. Take care. All right.
Bye-bye.
We are going to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Renee Joy DeFall, and we're going to be talking about Unsafe at Any Meal is her newest book, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to TNTAMS.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Our next guest is Dr. Renee Joy DeFall, and she became a medical laboratory specialist when she joined the U.S. Army in 1976. Following her four-year service, she went on to learn a bachelor, to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in environmental policy and analyst and planning at the University of California at Davis. And then she went into really looking at public health service. And so today, we're going to talk to her, but she's still at the university. She was a PhD there. And then she retired early when her position at U.S. Public Health Service Officer at the Food and Drug Administration to publish her book and to actually be a FDA whistleblower. This is really interesting. We're going to talk about Unsafe at Any Meal. That is her book. And let's welcome, again, Dr. DeFall.
Hello, Kim. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us here. So tell, I kind of just did a little, overview on everything that you've done. And of course, you're in beautiful Hawaii. So aloha there, right?
I'm in Hawaii.
How is it over there? Is it beautiful?
It depends. I live in the rainforest. What I'd like to do, Kim, is tell you about our most recent research that we published in the World Journal of Clinical Pediatrics on March 9th, 2023, because that article is making quite a smash globally. And in that article, we analyzed the most recent data available on learning disabilities in America. So I analyzed the special education data gathered by the U.S. Department of Education over the last 15 years and found that even though enrollment remained relatively flat between 2006 and 2021, overall special education services had increased 10.4%. So that's a huge increase when enrollment hasn't, it's been flat. It's not increased
Let me ask you a question. First of all, what are the two most common learning disabilities for which children receive special education for in the American schools? Let's just start there.
Okay, well, the data that the U.S. Department of Education collects annually is available to the public to analyze. Mm-hmm. And the increase in the special education cases is due primarily to two specific learning disabilities, autism and ADHD.
Okay.
So the special education caseloads for autism have tripled. And
wow.
For developmental delay, which is like a subcategory of autism,
wow.
They've quadrupled. And caseloads associated with ADHD have increased 83%. So we also analyzed the CDC data for autism, and we found that the rates are not only increasing, but they're accelerating. And keep in mind that this is happening while enrollment is flat. So what we're seeing is the percentage of American children, a greater and greater percentage, are in need of special education services.
So let me ask you, how do we know that these heavy metal exposures are coming from the food we eat?
Well, the accelerating rates of autism and ADHD in America are due to the heavy metal exposures and poor diet. Those are the primary epigenetic factors responsible for autism and ADHD worldwide. And we know this because there have been numerous clinical trials conducted all over the world on mm-hmm. these children. And where do the heavy metal exposures come from? Well, they come from the food we eat. And we know there are allowable levels of heavy metals in specific food ingredients. And how do we know that? Because the Code of Federal Regulations provides specifications for the manufacturing of these ingredients. And I worked at FDA for 9 years, so I'm well aware of the Code of Federal Regulations as they relate to food ingredients.
Right. So, and are there any quality issues? Like, I mean, why aren't they taking this out of there?
Well, because some of these food ingredients have been on the market before FDA was even an agency, and they're made from petroleum, which is, you know, the black oil from the ground. And mm-hmm. so when you mine petroleum, you're also getting heavy metals because that's what's in the ground. It's a lot of things. So the food ingredients that are made from petroleum products are those that are more likely to contain the heavy metal. And Congress, even the U.S. Congress, issued two reports in 2021 about the problem of heavy metals in baby foods. So this is, you know, the problem is now widely known.
Yeah. So let me ask you, first of all, how long has it been since you've worked there? And now this is what you dedicate your life to, correct?
Right. I actually retired from the FDA in December of 2007. So for almost 20 years now, I've been following the line of research that I started there when I found mercury in high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, I wanted to publish those findings because I was concerned about the mercury exposures in Americans when at that time each American was consuming on average 60 pounds of high fructose corn syrup a year. So
wow.
I've been following the line of research, which we now are calling nutritional epigenetics, now for almost 20 years.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so I have a question. So corn syrup, I know you talk about that a lot in all of your findings. The corn syrup that you buy just to put on pancakes, is that bad for you too?
Well, we don't have a up-to-date analytical results on corn syrup in general, because there's high fructose corn syrup, there's corn syrup like you described. The last time anybody analyzed that kind of corn syrup was in 2010 in Canada, and they found that corn syrup had mercury in it up there. So, you know, just because it was found then or you know, we don't know if manufacturers have made any changes. But we do know that how they use mercury in the process. They apply the inorganic mercuric chloride at the front end of the high fructose corn syrup manufacturing process. They apply it on the cornstarch. And so that's one way the mercury gets in there. And then, of course, the use of mercury-grade chloralkali chemicals during the process, if they're still using those chemicals. So what's really, really a super problem is that even government scientists have published results of showing how the consumption of high fructose corn syrup can impact your nutrient status inside your body. Mm-hmm. So we know that when you consume a lot of high fructose corn syrup, you will have zinc losses and calcium losses. Calcium losses when your magnesium intake is low. So because, you know, zinc and calcium are crucial nutrients. And so if you're eating a diet high in ultra-processed foods with lots of heavy metal residues, the high fructose corn syrup can impair your body's ability to process and excrete these heavy metal residues because of the way that high fructose corn syrup impacts your function. You with me?
Yes. Wow. That's incredible. So let me go back to one of your statements here, that the allowable contaminants in chlorine used for bleach flour. So there's mercury and lead residue, correct?
Right. There are international regulations to which the U.S. follows. The entire world follows a certain set of food safety regulations. And so that's at the Food, Agricultural, and FAO, Food and Agricultural Organization. And so some countries choose to make more stringent regulations, but the minimum regulation is that if for the bleach that you use to bleach flour, there's this allowable mercury and lead residues. And so the allowable mercury residues come from the actual bleach, because when you're using chlorine or sodium hypochlorite for bleaching the flour, it is made from a mercury cell chloralkali process. They use mercury to make the chlorine. So there's always mercury residues, period. That's just how it is. And so that's why they have this manufacturing standard for how much mercury is allowed in that chlorine that's used to bleach flour. You with me? Because it's all about the manufacturing process and what chemicals are used to make the ultra-processed foods stable on the shelf. And bleach is good for preventing mold. So
is it safe for us to eat that to use that for us?
No, I don't recommend having any bleach flour at all in your diet at all. For one thing, you might have heard it, white foods, the more white foods you eat, the more you're prone to diabetes. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but the white foods, what we know is that when you have the ultra-processed white foods, then you're more likely to have elevated mercury in your blood. And so the glucose, which is the sugar in your blood, we know this for a fact from analyzing a huge CDC data set that the higher your blood mercury, the higher your glucose. So then the more prone to diabetes you are. So mercury has a direct link to mercury exposure in the white foods, has a direct link to the development of diabetes.
So white food meaning white flour, white rice.
Right. Anything used with bleach flour. So that's just a side. In terms of the autism and ADHD, we know that the more processed foods you eat, prenatally for sure, then the higher your mercury and lead levels. And those levels get passed on to the fetus. And then they also impact the way specific genes work. so that when you're passing on the way your body functions, your metabolism is being passed on to the fetus. So that's how we have more and more autism and ADHD, is because we haven't changed the way we're eating. We're eating 70% of the food supply is ultra processed, and it has wow. allowable heavy metals. So each successive generation is basically becoming more and more impaired, and that's why we're seeing accelerating rates of autism and ADHD in our...
Well, we have to be done, but super interesting. Can you definitely give out your website so our listeners can learn more about this?
Sure. My website is www.reneedufault.com, and that's R-E-N-E-E-D-U, Essison Frank, A-U-L-T. So reneedufault.com. And how to buy my curriculum, which is two books. Be Unsafe at Any Meal comes with a study guide that has, and all the activities and whatnot have been used in three previous clinical trials to help people switch to a healthy diet.
And what's your website?
www.reneedufault.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, and thank you for all your information.
Thank you for having me. And
You've
I hope
got it.
The listeners can use the information.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We are at the end of our show. And again, I thank you all for tuning in to all of our amazing guests. And of course, I end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. Decision determines your destiny. Make sure you're making good decisions and make a decision. Some of us can't make decisions and it holds us back. With that, you've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll talk to you next week.